By the time they arrived at the courthouse in Hackensack, it was nearly 10 p.m. Big Cindy sat in the rain, shoulders hunched. Myron stepped out of the car and approached. "Big Cindy?" She let loose a low growl, a lioness warning off an inferior animal who'd wandered astray. "It's Myron," he said. The growl deepened. The rain had plastered Big Cindy's hair spikes to her scalp, as if she were sporting an uneven Caesar coif. "You can't stay here all night," Myron tried. She finally spoke.
"Go home."
"What happened?"
"You ran away."
Big Cindy's voice was childlike. "Lost." "Yes."
"You left us alone."
"I'm sorry about that, but I'm back now." He risked another step. If only he had something to placate her with, like a half gallon of Häagen-Dazs, or a sacrificial goat. Big Cindy started to cry. Myron put his palm on a shoulder that felt like a bowling ball. "What happened?" he asked again. She sniffled, loudly. The sound almost dented the limo's fender.
"I can't tell you."
"Why can't you?"
"She said not to."
"Esperanza?" Big Cindy nodded. "She's going to need help," Myron said.
"She doesn't want your help."
The words stung. The rain continued to fall. Myron sat on the step next to her. "Is she angry about my leaving?"
"I can't tell you, Mr. Bolitar. I'm sorry."
"Why not?"
"She told me not to."
"Esperanza can't bear the brunt of this on her own," Myron said. "She's going to need a lawyer."
"She has one."
"Who?"
"Hester Grimstein."
Big Cindy gasped as though she realized she'd said too much. But Myron wondered if the slip had been intentional. "How did she get Hester Grimstein?" Myron asked.
"I can't say any more, Mr. Bolitar. Please, don't be mad at me."
"I'm not mad, Big Cindy. I'm just concerned." Big Cindy smiled at him then. The sight made Myron bite back a scream.
"It's nice to have you back," she said.
"Thank you,"